Welcome back to the Drain Plug Podcast. We've got a couple of special guests back in the house again tonight. I think you've seen them a few times now. We got Nick over here from Tiny Boat Nation. We got Mike here in the middle, also from Tiny Boat Nation.
And hi, guys. We actually just recorded a bunch of podcasts in a row and never left.
We've been here. We're trapped. Yeah. Chris has locked us
we're
in.
We're kind of burnt out. Y'all in the building.
We got one more.
We're tired.
And forced you to speak to me.
We got one more left in the chamber before our brains are fried. This is apparently
get
very
delirious.
Exhausting just sitting here and talking to each other.
Well, I don't have my Gingy to talk to, so I have to talk to someone.
That's all right.
So we have you guys here.
He asked me odd questions like what's in my heart and shit.
tell us how you really feel.
Maybe it's better how that he's not here. They're going to find out.
So I want to cover a topic on this podcast that we don't get to talk about a whole lot, and that is the history of Tiny Boat Nation. I came into this way late in the game. Y'all were around a lot longer than I've been, and I want to hear all of your childhood stories.
So we get to talk about ourselves.
you get to talk about yourself.
It's my favorite thing.
So start.
I was joking when I said it's really not my favorite thing.
Before we jump into the inception of Tiny Boat Nation and how it came to be, I want to hear a little bit about both of y'all's histories in the fishing world and what got you into boats in the first place. Because a lot of people just see on YouTube or, you know, Nick's answering the phone a lot of times. You've been on some videos and stuff. They don't really know you as a person. So, Mike, I want you to start and tell us how you feel about how you got into boats.
Right. How I got into boats, because I didn't get into boats until I got into fishing. I got into fishing first, and I got into fishing. My dad took me out. It was real simple. My dad took me on a boat. I caught a bluegill. That was it.
Got you hooked.
Permanent addict for life, right? One fish. Did it for me. And ever since then, I had liked fishing. I was kind of the odd kid where other kids went and partied and chased women. I mean, I did some of that, but mostly I went to fish. Like, I just had this obsession with it, and my friends thought I was weird. So maybe I didn't have the most friends because not a whole lot of them fish.
You still
like
are
I
a
did.
Little bit, Mike, but we
love
you.
Yeah, it is fine. I'm an adult, and who cares? So it's like, but the, I think that's the start of it. I heard other people who are big in other parts of the industry here have similar things where they were always fishing when their friends were not, and they were kind of just doing those things, and I don't know, kind of passions kind of take over sometimes in those things. So there was that. And then the whole thing about obviously wanting a boat is because when you're fishing from the shore and you see some bass hole out there.
I want to be that guy.
Yeah, don't you want to be like him? But, I mean, the sad reality is, you know. Here, anyways. Nick.
Well, no, hold on. Before we move on, I have some more questions. I'm going to grill you, dude.
This is like a therapy session.
This ain't no therapy session.
No, there ain't no therapy sessions here. Nobody's getting paid for this.
All right, so over the years, you've done a lot of types of fishing.
Yeah.
What do you, like, you personally, like, if you're not filming, you're just going out for leisure.
People want to learn about you, Mike.
What do you like to fish for, and what's your, like, fishing style?
I like to fish for trophy-size largemouth bass and striper.
Okay.
And I like to fish for them with large lures because big fish will eat bigger baits. They don't have a whole lot of time to waste their energy on smaller, running after like small shad because they have such a big appetite. I mean, that's how I'd like to fish. There's a lot of lakes where that strategy does not work, and I paid for it. But I've set my own personal best records with all of my homemade swim baits and other baits. So yeah, that's
what's
like,
your PB
cool.
largemouth?
It's only 8 pounds, but it's big to me.
I don't know.
8 pounds
bait,
on
right?
Havasu is big. So it's a big fish for Havasu.
Well, that was a northern strain largemouth at 8 pounds.
Yeah, and then my biggest striper is 35 pounds.
I was just about to ask. Now, I know you do catch bluegill. What do y'all call them out there?
Oh,
those are
red ear. Red ear? Giant red ear, yeah.
What's the biggest one you call it?
Four.
Four? Yeah. That's a big
four,
one.
Four and some change.
That's very
I see somebody catch a five in front of me. I was very upset because I cast in the same area and caught a bass. It was very disappointing.
Okay. Favorite rod and reel combo and favorite lure that you use when you're fishing?
I like Taipan rods. I mean, I don't know if he's even in business anymore. Those are still kind of my thing. But, I mean, really, there's so many good rod companies out there. I like Dobbins.
Dobbins
is, like, my favorite rod company that's, like, here.
Okay.
They make a very good rod.
Yeah.
I like Dobbins a lot.
Favorite reel?
The Shimano Tranks 400.
And favorite lure to fish with?
Mine.
You make custom swim baits and glide baits and stuff like
that. Yes, I do.
Mike's a mad scientist / artist.
They're better than everybody else. They are.
Until you break a fish off because it was poorly molded.
No, it's never happened. Type.
Never happened?
No, got Kevlar hooks on them thing. Four hooks with Kevlar ties. They don't come off.
All right, last one. Braid, mono, or fluorocarbon, or a mix of all?
30-pound mono for swim baits, fluoro for chatterbaits and cranks, and then braid for everything else, like flipping, pitching, frogging.
Any particular brands that you like, or just whatever?
Just whatever. Seaguar.
Yeah, Seaguar.
And then braid is just braid. Like, I don't know who makes the braid. Somebody makes braid. I buy it.
Power like, Pro. They all.
Yeah, I think it's Power Pro. Yeah,
there's all different types.
I don't buy it a lot because braid lasts forever. But yeah, Power Pro. And then I don't know.
Okay. All right, Nick. Tell us your whole life story about boating and fishing.
I fractured my knee skateboarding when I was between fifth and sixth grade, and was essentially in a full leg cast for 3 months. And all my friends abandoned me because they couldn't go skateboarding anymore. And my spring baseball season was screwed. And so my mom decided to support me in something to get me out of the house. And so she said, you know, you can go fishing down at this kid's fishing pond. We had a pond in our town that was for youth only. And it was pretty rad that, you know, it's kids only trout pond. And I sat there for 3 months, essentially, with a full leg cast and caught trout after trout and just fell in love with catching fish. And did you really just try to drink that? And
we did a whiskey review earlier.
Yeah, for the random people.
If you haven't listened to that podcast, go listen to it. It was hilarious. Yeah,
you're going to have to go back to the other podcast to see us testing it. So Mike just
it's
tried
cold
to,
in here. There's it's a not heater, cold there's anymore. A nice
heater, Mike is not a fan of rye whiskey.
No, it tastes bad, but it has its purpose. Yeah.
Well, back to my childhood that was just scarred with bad whiskey trauma.
Before you continue, was that in Washington?
Yeah, so Washington State. So I grew up in Washington State, Olympia, Lacey area, south of Seattle a little bit. And so I fell in love with fishing there, but it wasn't really there that I got hooked. I was fishing off a friend's dock in my leg cast, and I saw two bass spawning right next to the dock. And I had never seen these fish before. I'd only known trout up until then. And these were big largemouth. These are like 5-6 pound northern strain largemouth. And so I throw my little worm on there onto their bed, and all of a sudden one sucks it up. And I'm on like a 5.5 foot ultralight rod with a little 6 pound test for trout. And next thing you know, this fish just takes me all around the dock and gets wound up in the pilings. And I mean, I was just hobbling around trying to get this thing unstuck. And I finally got it after probably what seemed like forever. And that fish came, you know, just finally tired out, right? And I got it up to the dock and I was just shaking, man. Like, you know, when you're a little kid and you just like you catch a big fish and you just like your whole body is just going crazy. And so I was scared to lip it. It had like, you know, the big old mouth, and I saw it on TV on Bassmaster how they lip them. And honestly, I kind of got scared. So I was like, well, snapped at my hand, and I didn't know any better. So I tried to lift this thing up on the dock. And well, anybody can know what happens when you try and lift a fish on a six pound fish on 6 pound test, crappy trout line. And as I tried to lift it onto the dock, the line broke, that fish swam away, and I bawled my eyes out at 12 years old, laying on the dock, exhausted and shaking, and it was the coolest frickin' experience ever, but also probably the most traumatic as well, and ever since then, I've been wanting to catch fish after fish after fish. So that was my addiction story. Once I found out you could do it as a sport, tournament fishing, I became a sparkle barger and patch pirate, and did tournament fishing, did college tournament fishing, and that kind of just led me down the path of always been blessed to work in the fishing and boating industry ever since, after that one fish that got off the line, and then found out it was competitive, and then became a sparkle barger.
I love that.
What, you got a patch pirate?
Yeah, patch pirate.
What is the patch?
Well, back in the day, you used to get patches.
Well, yeah.
For
so when you were cool, yeah, when you were cool and back like you won tournaments or you had sponsors. Yeah, when you had sponsors.
Talking about like Sons of Anarchy or something.
No, no, it is. It is kind of like that. Yeah, it's like Sons of Anarchy, but wannabe, wannabe 10% discount pro staffers. Cool. So I was one of those. I definitely had a tournament jersey and all the logos and. Yeah. All that jazz, and thought I was cool with the bass boat, the sparkle barge bass boat, and a four-door pickup. And those days are behind me now. But I'm a recovering patch pirate in Sparkle Barger. Now I have a pontoon boat. Life is different now.
Yes, it is.
Life is very different.
So Mike, you came up with the idea for Tiny Boat Nation. It started as a YouTube channel. What prompted that?
So why?
What was going so bad in your life that you decided to become a YouTuber?
Oh, so many things. But like,
shit, I'm gonna get to drinking now too.
Yeah, that's mine. Mm. You swallowed the whole thing. Never mind. No, he left some. You should just suck the whole thing.
That is terrible, man. Sorry, Willett Family Whiskey. That's awful. Oh, no. Well, huck it.
All right, so.
Shit, that's terrible.
Why did I become a YouTuber? So, back to the whole thing about seeing fishing from the shore and that being like my whole thing for my whole youth and young adulthood. Everybody wants a boat.
Yeah.
Like, and a nice one. Like, who doesn't want a bass boat if you see it?
Yeah.
And you know what it can
everybody
do for you.
Everybody wants a sparkle barge.
Yeah, everybody wants a sparkle barge.
Goes 60 miles an hour.
Little ditch pickle glitter rocket.
But, like, realistically, so many people can actually afford that thing. Totally. It's generally a giant money pit.
Yes.
It's generally a status symbol. It's high-level degeneracy. Totally. It is.
It is high-level gambling. You're right.
And, you know, all gambling. Power to whoever has a sparkle barge. But the I just found out, honestly, we were talking about another podcast, how I had modified an inflatable, and then YouTube kind of put in my suggested feed a John Boat to Bass Boat conversion. And then I saw, like, my very first John Boat to Bass Boat. It's like JFC Outdoors or something. It's like the OG. There's like 10 videos out there that were good, or five or something.
Mm-hmm. What year are we talking here?
We're talking like 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I had just graduated my master's and moved up to Havasu to start a job, and then that came across
my
feed.
So that's how you got to Havasu, was the job?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And then, I had caught a smallmouth in Havasu, and then that was it.
You had to move there.
I had to move there. And then, Heather had family.
Did you ask your realtor, like, when you were looking for a house, they'd be like, do you have smallmouth up here?
No, my wife had family in Parker. And I used to fish that river, and it had smallmouth. But then I actually stopped because I was tired of fishing that river, and I wouldn't fish the lake. And it was fantastic. I was like, I'm moving here. It was like right in the spawn.
Oh, yeah.
I caught like two or three big smallmouth. I never caught. I never seen smallmouth so big in my life. I like lost my mind. And then there were some largemouth swimming around. I was like, this place is great.
It's magical.
I'm coming. So that was like it. So then I started looking for jobs up there, and it's a rural place, and it's hard to get people, like skilled labor there, so I had no chance. I had no problem getting in, like as a new grad, you know. So that's how I got up there. But then, obviously, you know, when I saw that video that you could just convert a boat, and I watched how some people did it. Some people did it all aluminum. Some people welded. Some people just did it straight out of wood. I'm like, I can do that. Like, and so I built. Then that's where it started. And then I built it, and then. Then I didn't like it, so I built another one, and I didn't like it. It was kind of a, and then I kind of then I found out like you can make money off YouTube. Actually, before YouTube, the adpocalypse happened. I had like not a whole lot of subscribers or views, but the views counted for so much more in revenue. So I was making like $500.
Yeah.
When I had like less than 1,000 subscribers, I was making $500 a month. I was like, that was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
Like pre-2020, that was like a lot of money, and I was like, this is great. And then it was like, I don't know, it was growing. The minute I started doing YouTube and started doing all that stuff, my day job was like locked in terminal decline. Like,
you just dreaded going to work because you wanted to be at home.
Well,
videos.
Yeah.
And what about the Facebook group? Did you start the Facebook group at the same time as the YouTube channel?
Ryan and I started it together, actually.
Ah. Ryan was Ryan your first like other YouTuber that you started talking to?
Yeah, him. And then there was some other guy who was trying to copy Ryan. And you know, Ryan back in the day was like the most chill person, and this other guy, forget what his name was, but like Ryan didn't like him. And then John.
Yeah, when Ryan doesn't like somebody, you typically got to listen to that.
Yeah, and then John Steer from JDS Outdoors. It was me, him, and Ryan. I think we all started it. We started the Facebook group. We kept the YouTube thing going, and it was like, and I don't know, it just was way more rewarding than my day job.
Yeah,
and where I was like a therapist.
So when did you finally quit your day job and start doing YouTube full time?
Well, I tried like twice. My wife kind of like got in the way the first two times. Like, and then
they do that.
Then Nick had reached out to me, and I was an affiliate with him for Gator Guards, and he was working for Gator Guards, and then we talked about the business models for stores and stuff. And he's like, well, I can help you. Why don't we do something together? And it was right about the time where I was absolutely sick and tired of my actual job. Like, I just had it mm-hmm. with my profession and I was like, I'm going to just quit this and go into anything else, like landscaping, anything. I was done.
Could have been a sign twirler at the We Buy Gold Pawn Shop.
Anything would have been better.
Swinging signs for Mattress Firm.
Anything would have been better than, like, social work or any of it. Like, none of it. Like, it's wanted out of it. And then it was a point where I had to tell myself, like, I'm not going to listen to nobody who tells me that I'm not going to make it, or because then you just listen to a bunch of normies who don't have the life you want tell you how you can't have it. And then so that meant your family, all your coworkers. You just had to shut them all down and just be like, fuck, you know, like,
so you that's had a kinda, dream. You had a dream. You had
that's kind of how it went. Yeah. So I think my wife cried when I quit my job. She like legit cried, and I told her I'm not going back to that show. Like, I'm not going back to it.
So when did you two officially decide to start the website? Because that was where y'all two kind of combined your forces together. Because you had been in the boating industry.
2019, I think. Right.
No. So it was.
Or 2018.
No. So it was 2 weeks after COVID shut the world down in 2020. Late March of 2020 was the genesis of.
Is that really when it started?
Yeah, it is because you quit your job a month before that.
Yeah.
So it we were. What were you saying, Mike?
No, it just happened to be the perfect startup time because everybody had no choice but to watch YouTube.
Yeah.
Totally. It was honestly a huge blessing and just a, like, you know, perfect. I wholeheartedly believe in God's timing and. You know, it was COVID. It was middle of March 2020, and I was on the road for a trade show. And we actually were at the Bassmaster Classic. I was working the Bassmaster Classic, and then the following weekend was another trade show up in Wisconsin called Canoeacopia, which is like the coolest canoe and kayak show in the world. it's freaking awesome. And they actually had canceled Canoeacopia as we were getting ready to set up for the show, and I had to fly back from Madison, Wisconsin. At the beginning of COVID, and everybody in the airport was like staring at each other. Everybody was sitting like 20 yards away from each other at the airport because no one knew what was going on, and no one had masks or anything. Like, nobody knew anything of what was going on besides there was some weird China virus going around. And so it was like the most awkward plane ride and plane flight ever. I think maybe it was that week, Mike, that you had called me and told me that you had quit your job.
No, it had been the 2 weeks or so prior.
Yeah, you called me.
Maybe a week prior.
Yeah.
Because that Friday was my last day. And
the same week everything shut down.
That Friday that I had was the last day of my official last day of my day job. The whole country shut down, and so did the schools. And so somebody needed to watch my kids anyways. It, like, timed perfectly.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and I remember you called me, and they were just like, dude, what is going on? Like, the whole world's crumbling down, and I just decided to quit my day job, like, last week, and then the whole world's crumbling. I think that's when both it kind of spawned on us, like, we could actually do something really special with Tiny Boat Nation and, you know, make it a full-time gig. And at that point, it was just an idea to make it a full-time gig for you, right? And then I would, like, kind of help, and the first 1 to 2 years, it was just kind of a side gig for me. And then, you know, you were leaning full time into YouTube.
Yeah.
And, and then another genesis of that was my little boy Luke was going to be born. And I was working for Gator Guards, and they had gotten bought out by TH Marine. And I was offered a job at TH Marine. And they're a great company, but my little boy was born with some health issues, and like that same week, I essentially had to turn down the job offer, tell them that I was going to quit my day job and do Tiny Boat Nation full time, and that, like, you know, TBN had now become partly my baby, and you know, I needed to see it fully through. I couldn't let it be a side gig anymore, right? Yeah. And so that was kind of my jumping off point of jumping off the cliff into Tiny Boathood full time. Yeah. And ever since those two Genesis moments, it's been gangbusters.
So and we don't have him here, but Nate's been a huge part of helping to build the Tiny Boat Nation brand and some of the products that we carry.
Totally.
Where did Nate get involved? For anybody who doesn't know, Nate Eckold is the owner of the Midwest shop up in Illinois.
He's too good to be here.
He's going to be here tomorrow.
He's in Georgia, but he's
fishing. He doesn't
want to
hang out at night with us little people.
Well, no, I'm sorry. He's still in Tennessee. They fish today.
Like I said, too good to be here.
Yeah. Nate's a big-time fishing app. So, but where did Nate come into play? That was one part I never really understood.
Oh, so Nate, actually, because I was, like, when it was my Facebook group, I kind of was, like, there. And all of a sudden, Nate came out of nowhere. Well, in terms of, like, building stuff.
Well, you were the admin.
Everybody
you were
was
way
kind
more
of,
active
kind
admin
of a little
at
bit
time,
behind
right?
me in terms of, like, build quality or ideas.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Nate started posting stuff and getting a huge audience. And I didn't really pay too much attention because I was, you know, up with YouTube. Like, YouTube had most of my part, and Facebook was just there. And I just remember, like, Jason Braun, who was doing all our merch stuff, he's like, this guy, Nate Eckhold, he's been buying a lot of decals, and he's making really nice boats. He's got an audience rooting for him in there. You should check him out. And so then I looked at his stuff. His stuff was really good, like mine, but he, like, tried harder. like he's doing it for customers. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, out of
at the time when I was doing it, I wasn't going for precision and, like, like precision crash, but I was like,
your focus was
I was like
content.
Utilitarian function and fishing and content.
You've always made boats for yourself.
Yeah. And so then I seen this stuff. I was like, this is really good. This is all my ideas. But if I tried harder, like, so like I had to talk to him and see what he was up to. And then we talked and he seemed like a really nice guy, real reasonable to talk to. And then I say, well, you don't want to do anything, you know, let me know. And then he's like, oh, thanks. I'll let you know. And then like a day later, he, like, calls me up. Yeah, let's do something. I'm tired of my job. I was like, geez, that was fast. I was like,
take no time.
But apparently he got shafted at his job where he was doing all the work, and some lady, like, pretended to be his friend, but it secretly was taking all the credit and took his promotion. So he just didn't want to be there anymore. And so.
And he came up with the idea for the dry tracks, had the dye made. So
yeah, we had talked about all that, and then he slowly surely made his own system.
Yeah, he started in his garage, right? Yeah. Like, he was building boats on the side as a side gig, and then, you know, graduated from that to making the jump of quitting his day job to do Tiny Boats full time, which there's a recurring theme here.
Yeah.
And his wife hated his boat building venture just like mine did. And very similar. Right out of the garage.
And Nate graduated from the garage to that first little shop that he had. And, you know, luckily Nate has a couple great partners local to him and his fishing community that have come alongside him to help prop up his local location. And
yeah, Nate had a lot of support.
Yeah, and Nate had some great support from his partners up there to make his, like, local location really thrive. But yeah, Nate came alongside of us and really was the spearhead of all of our aluminum products and kits and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's been like I said, another person that just decided to quit their day job and help empower DIY boaters full time. So
yeah,
similar themes. I mean, I don't know how bad it was with Nick, but like, my wife was absolutely against me quitting my job. Nate's wife was absolutely against him quitting his. They just didn't care.
Oh, my wife thought
I
was batshit crazy.
Jobs were. Like, I think you actually had you liked your employer, but like, they when it came to Nate and mine, like, we hated our jobs, like, hated them. And, like, our wives just couldn't get why we couldn't just suck it up and work there until we died just for the health insurance. And it's just the same thing with, like, these people, these sheep. Like, it's always my health insurance, my 401k. This is why bees don't waste time explaining to flies why honey is better than shit. Like, you just don't do it.
Great analogy.
You just don't. You can't do it. Just go and make honey. Like,
the moral of the story is, if you have a dream, go follow it. But
yeah,
hopefully
don't
lose
your
health
way.
Insurance or your 401k or lose your marriage.
Yeah, you'll get it back. Just
it.
Go ahead. Piss away money. No, I swear that's terrible advice.
Go, like, for it.
Blow it all. But
who needs a 401k? Buy the boat.
You can make money back. They make more and more of it every day. Okay, you
they
can't
give it away
what
for
you
free
can't
if
get
you
back,
want. If you get
you,
enough from the government, yeah, they
what
give
you
it away
can't
for
get
free.
Back is time.
That's true.
Fact.
Your gray hairs will come for you one way or another.
My gray hairs are coming out of my beard. Working with these two, you can see them.
Chris has got a whole forest of grays over there. I got a few.
I mean, at least y'all's are going gray. Mine's skipping gray and going to white. At this rate, I got another year and I'm going to be able to play Santa part time in the winter.
Well, where this is, you know, we kind of covered the history aspect. Where, Mike, do you see Tiny Boat Nation going in the next 3 to 5 years? Where do you see the next genesis of Tiny Boat Nation? What does that look like? What does the content, the video content look like? What does the, you know, how we serve our community look like? Like, what do you see?
Well, we just got to continue to grow and make changes as the whole industry kind of changes, because we're a part of the industry now, and just people come and go, like the whole John Boat to Bass Boat building thing kind of trends with YouTube and other people do it. But we're just really passionate at helping people get on the water, either restore their current boat or find an old one and restore it. We even build them for people out of Illinois and sometimes occasionally here in Georgia. Just our bigger thing is just trying to empower somebody to be good. I mean, our audience has shifted. Before, it used to be a bunch of smart people who could DIY stuff, and then now we have a whole concoction of people. And we're serving different customer bases.
We have a lot of greenhorns.
we're serving a lot of different customer bases, a wider audience, so I hope for us to be less of a niche and more of a thing. Like
more of a staple in the industry.
Well, and just
I want us to be like, I don't know if we could be Bass Pro, but maybe. Something like something around in that ballpark where we can just really become a true outdoor company, like a big one.
Yeah, well, and
not just boat parts, but
our knowledge and skills and our care for our customers and community with a wider base. Like, if you've ever called in to our Tiny Boat Nation tech support line, you've either talked to Chris or Mike or me or Ryan or Naeem, and like, we all truly care about you, the listener. If you're listening to this, you know, we truly care about getting you on the water in the best possible fashion what that means to you, right? Does that mean getting you the best options for the cheapest price? Or does that matter getting you the best performing boat exactly the way you want it and exactly customized to your dream boat? Doesn't matter what type of boat you want. Our job is to help empower you to be able to build that with your own two hands, or we can build it for you. But us seeing you smiling on the water, enjoying time with your family on the water, going fishing, you know, just enjoying God's green earth and outdoors, like that's what drives us every single day to go to work.
Yeah,
and we've been extremely blessed to be able to do that on a daily basis. So
that's the overall theme of the Tiny Boat Nation company, is we realize that the small and newer boat community is highly underserved in the grand scheme of the marine world.
Totally.
And we want to be the support system for that, whether it's through video content that we make, Facebook posts and stuff like that. We have a huge community over there of people that have tried things that we haven't tried or share new ideas. But we also want to be there, you know, to provide support when it comes to parts and build kits and ideas and things that you can do for your boat. Because the majority of the marine industry doesn't really care about small boaters or new people that are coming into this and wanting to restore an old boat, or, you know, just there's just a huge...
You just want to sell new boats that are over $100,000.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where the marine industry is, and we want to be the opposite of that. I mean, we want to help people.
Definitely. That's a bigger thing of us. So that's why we got into Autoboat. That's why we make these kits.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a really nice fishing boat that they have made. You know, because and they have products that work for them. So I mean, how you obtain a boat, because it's a want, not a need. You know, that you either have to have a lot of money, a lot of expendable capital, or a lot of time to build it from nothing, or a little bit of both. So I think I have a boat that I probably wouldn't be able to afford. No, I couldn't afford it. There's no way. But I built it. So there went that. Like, I cut tons of cost out of it because I acquired the skill to build it. I think that a lot of, I don't know, just if you haven't tried to build anything, like as a man, I would encourage you to do it, even if it's not your thing. Like,
The amount of satisfaction and joy.
Yeah, it does something for your mind.
Yeah.
It changes, yeah.
And ladies, too. We got some lady tiny boat builders.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And
it's also a great thing to get kids involved with.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Not super young, but, you know, you can take them out fishing. But getting...
But for a 12-year-old to lay hands on with tools on the first time
and
build a boat. Like, we have so many great stories on the Facebook group of dads building boats with their kids.
Or even modifying, you know, a decent fishing boat, like some of these small plastic boats that are out now, popular. You know, getting those kids, you know, out there in the garage, putting on graphs, helping them install trolling motors, you know, just little stuff like that goes a long way.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasted a lot of my whole life in doing things I wasn't supposed to. And if I didn't actually try to build a boat from start to finish, then I would have never, like, reached the peak of my mechanical inclination in art. Like, it unlocked a different level of artistic ability. That I knew I had, but, like, the actual...
Yeah, you'd be able to put art
I should have probably been in the trades together. Where, like, there was other signs. Like, when I went into the military, I scored for all these CB jobs. Like, I could have had any CB job I wanted.
Yeah.
Steel worker, anything. Like, and then I chose, like, to be a stupid AO. And that was the dumbest job I ever chose. Like, I did. There's a lot of fails, but, like, you know,
failure is just one step towards progress.
But I would have really kind of found out that teacher. I was, huh?
Failure is the best teacher,
definitely. But I really, really found out I was supposed to actually be building things and creating things and not sitting in some stupid office listening to a bunch of peckers. Like, just, I mean, it was really.
Hey, that's my job. All right.
I mean, I still do that on occasion on the customer service line, but it's, you know, I'm saying it's, you just got to try things is all I'm saying. I don't really know where I'm going with this. All
right. We do appreciate when you help out with the phones.
Yeah,
I do.
It's great. People like hearing your voice sometimes.
Oh, thanks.
But I get to listen to some of the calls sometimes and they're like, are you that guy? Are you the guy that does the videos? You're like, yeah, that's me.
It could be.
I love it.
It's funny.
Anything else I want to cover?
Nope.
On this?
Thank you guys for helping us out so much and being part of what makes us successful over here. And we hope to do more stuff like this and provide more to you guys. Stay tuned.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Tiny Boat Nation would not be without you, the nation part.
Yeah.
So the community is important. Yep, and it's just been a huge honor to serve our customers, and we get a lot of joy. Our whole team gets an immense amount of joy and satisfaction from helping you guys get on the water.
Yep. Well,
don't forget
your drain plug.
Oh my God, y'all did so good! I'm proud of y'all.
Or else you're gonna have to stick a bunch of Senkos in there to fill the big hole and stop it from leaking. And it's gonna leak a little bit, and then you're gonna sink. And
you guys gotta let that go.
Bread would work too.
Ooh, bread, yeah.
The bread until it dissolves.
No, they use bread to pop out like seized bolts and stuff.
Play-Doh.
You can pack enough bread in there. It's just like a hydraulic force and pop it out.
I don't know if I believe any of that, but okay.
I may have to try that.
You stick your pecker in there, and well, mine's not.
That's
big
a
enough,
great video idea, Mike. What improvisions can you make for a drain plug on the water?
I just know personally that Senkos work. You stick enough of them in a hole, and they jam that hole up.
That should be a competition. We should do a competition of who can plug a drain hole the quickest.
That's a good idea. I'm down. Are you down, right, Mike?
Join us.
I don't know.
On the next Drain Plug podcast, the race to plug the drain hole.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget, if you're watching this on podcast platform, please rate it. Please rate the podcast. It does help it get out to other people and see. If you're watching this on YouTube, give us a comment if you don't mind. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are on the podcast. We've been doing this for a little while now, and we like to hear other people's opinions. If there's something specific that you have a question on that you want us to cover in a future video or a future podcast, please let us know. We would be glad to get that information from you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.